Good Shepherd Sermon for Thursday, March 14th, 2024. Pastor Dennis Falou. Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and School is located in Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin, in the United States. Our mission is simple and bold. We seek to grow in faith and knowledge of our Savior Jesus. We want to make Him known to others so they too might share in the joy Jesus won for them. Here's Pastor.
Reconsider is from Hebrews chapter 5, starting with verse 7. You'll see it on the screen there. In the days of His flesh, He, referring to Jesus, offered prayers and pleas with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save Him from death. And He was heard because of His reverence. Although He was a son, He learned obedience from the things He suffered. After He was brought to His goal, He became the source of eternal salvation for everyone who obeys Him. So for our text, we bow our heads and we pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, thank You so much for the gift of Your Son. Holy Spirit, thank You so much for Your Word. And Jesus, thank You for completing the plan identified already in eternity for us. Amen. As I said, I'm going to be referring to Pastor Valu's sermon. For those of you who were not here or not able to be here, he had an unusual thing right on this little pedestal right here. It was shiny, and I looked for it today. It was not there, by the way. It was an instrument that he said you could use it to loosen bolts and tighten bolts, and it was just the right instrument if you had a certain particular type of head on that bolt, and I'm taking him at his word, because as you know, that's not my strong point. In fact, Dennis, you should know that Donna leaned over to me and she said, "Do you know what that is?" It was the right instrument, the right job. That's what you need, a right instrument for the right job. And then he went on to point out that God provided the exact right instrument for the job of creating faith. When he took God's word, connected with water, and he says, "In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, I baptize you," and he creates faith. Whether you're young or old, that's the key. The right thing for the right job, to take someone from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Wow. So today, we're looking at, okay, that's the right instrument for the right job. Who forged the instrument? How did that get there? What's the meaning behind that? And Pastor, that front cover still bothers me. You have Jesus crying and he's praying and there's no smiles. It's, I come to church to be happy. I want to hear how happy it is, how God loves me. We may forget at times that God's love for us is so absolutely over the top. It's not all happy feelings. It's not all, "Well, this is a cool thing." God's love for us goes right into the very pit of hell. It says here, in the days of his flesh, he offered prayers and pleas with loud cries and tears to the one who is able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverence. In the days of his flesh, while Jesus was alive, in the womb of his mother Mary until his last breath on the cross. It's about 33 years, give or take. We're told during that time, he prayed. So he prayed in good times and sad times. He prayed when his mom was teaching him how to walk. Good time. He prayed in the temple when he was learning from the from the scholars there a little bit more about God's word, and he was able to ask them a little bit more questions about God's word. He prayed in troubling times when his mom found him at 12 years old saying, "We've been looking for you. Where have you been?" And he said, in great respect for his mom, "How is it you're looking for me? Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" He was praying, worshiping God all the time. Good times and bad. And all the time, he never questioned God. The first miracle he did, they ran out of wine at a wedding. He never questioned God, saying, "Why did you let this happen?" He never questioned God and said, "How come he didn't make these people richer so they could have more wine? Or how come he didn't make sure that people couldn't come to the wedding so that there'd be enough wine for everybody?" He never questioned God. Instead, he used that as a time to say, "Take some water from those things and bring it to the master of the feast," and turned hundreds and hundreds of gallons of water into wine, not just into wine, into the very best wine that the master of the banquet had ever tasted. Good times and bad, troubling times and calm times. A dad once went to Jesus, and he was concerned because he was doing everything he could to follow what Jesus was saying, and his son was possessed by a demon, and he wanted the disciples to throw out the demons because Jesus had given them that power. And then we're told the disciples could not. So the father was at his loose ends. And while all this commotion was going on, Jesus comes and he says, "What's going on?" And he explains the whole thing to him. And Jesus says, "How long has it been like this?" "Ever since he'd been a little boy, the demon has been trying to kill my son." So just then the demon does his thing and Jesus says, "Stop it, get out." So it's a scary time. He's always talking to his Heavenly Father, always doing what God wants him to do, never questioning what God wants. And it says here, he offered prayers and pleas with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death. And you might say to yourself right now, "Well, a lot of good that is. Where'd they get him? They spit on his face, they whipped him, nailed him to a cross, left him there to die naked among two other naked thieves. A lot of good this did." If you run into someone who gets that feeling from reading that verse, don't get angry. Just say, "Let's read that verse again." He offered prayers and pleas with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death. He's not asking to be saved from death. We're told he is praying to the God who has total control over life and death. The word "from," it means out of. He's able to get me out of death. Do you see what Jesus is praying? He's praying, "Father, Father, what's coming up is really hard. With loud cries and please," he's begging God. Now we kind of know what he offered up, right? We're told that his whole life is an offering. He is a substitute for us. He's a substitute for sinners, because when we come and we worship God in prayer, what are we doing? "Well, God, my bank account's a little bit low. Could you put some shekels in there? Or, you know, I don't like what my doctor said. Could you take care of my health a little bit better? I'm thinking you're not doing such a hot shot job." Or maybe, "Oh, my next door neighbor's just the pain." Or maybe, "Lord, those people at our church are such hypocrites. What are your prayers to God? You notice that we often, we put our sin and our evil motives in prayers. But God does not do that. The perfect sacrifice, the perfect substitute in our place is praying loudly to the God who can control everything, including death. But he didn't ask to be spared, because Jesus was all about the plan. He offered up prayers to the one who was able to save him from death, able to save him out of death. And then, did you get this? He says, and he was heard because of his reverence. That word reverence is such a deep word. Any pastor here or online watching, you know that you could spend a month of Sundays just on that one word. Reverence means that Jesus knew who his Father was, understood the eternal plan, understood that he was a willing person, the only one to do that plan, and it was a hard plan. How can you possibly be perfect all the time with guys like the disciples saying that they follow you? One guy's going to sell him out for 30 pieces of silver. Another guy's going to run away. Another guy's going to betray him. Another guy's going to say, I don't know who he is. And to back up his claim, he's going to call down curses from God on himself. How in the world are you going to make it, oh Lord? And guess what? He cried out to God because God is able to take care of the hardest thing of death. He's surely able to take care of the little thing. And he did that. He took care of everything. He was perfect in every way, and he stuck to it. You and I, we give up. If things get hard for me, if my feeling got hurt, if my feeling got hurt, what happens? I run away from God? Jesus' feelings were constantly being hurt. He was constantly made fun of, constantly mocked, constantly ignored. And what happened? He went back to his Father again and again and again and again. We have a couple of those prayers recorded, and during the season of Lent, getting ready for Easter, everyone always focuses on what he said on the cross, and that is an appropriate thing. It says, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Everyone always remembers Monday, Thursday, he said, Father, if there's any other way, do it the other way. But also remember the word he said, it is finished. So his whole life of gathering up all of our sins, his whole life was spent rescuing us. And that's to come on the front cover. You have Jesus praying. He's praying because you and I are doing things constantly that make him sad, angry. It's sin. There's no other word for it. We always say, well, you know, God won't mind this little white lie. Oh, yes, he will. The next time you have a little white lie, just remember that little white lie is wrapped around a nail that's being pounded into Jesus' hands and feet. The next time you lose your temper, remember that that loss of temper put a crown of thorns crushing on our Savior's head. The next time you're saying, well, God won't mind if I believe most of his word and just get rid of some of his word, remember that, because that's wrapped around the spear that got jabbed into his side. Jesus had to suffer for every single one of our sins. Everything that we think, everything that we say, everything we do. And he did it so that you and I don't feel guilty. He did it so you and I know for absolutely certain that no matter who you are or where you are on the planet, if a Christian comes up to you and says, do you know what Jesus did? He took away your sin. So you can say it around coffee. You can say it while you're working on a car. You can say it while you're raking pine cones like we did yesterday. You can say it if you're in a prison or in a hospital. All sin of all people has been forgiven. So how does that affect you? I'm praying that you said, whoa, everyone, I can't keep on doing that sin. I can't keep on saying that sin. I can't keep on behaving this way because Jesus died for that. I don't want to live like that anymore. And then your prayer will be like his, where Jesus prayed to the one who's able to save him from death. That's the God that we serve. And in his name, that's how we're going to live this week, right? Amen.